Now, over in Galatians chapter 3, I'm going to be reading some scriptures out of the King James translation, but we may refer to others as we go here. But in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13, starting in verse 13 through 14, says that Christ hath... Now, is that past, present, or future?
Past.
Okay, that's past tense. Not Christ will... Or someday, it says, Christ hath, that's past tense, if you know anything about English, amen, redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Verse 14, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. Now, that would be you and I, amen. Anybody that's a non-Jew is a Gentile. But we get in on it, amen? He says that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now, in the book of Galatians, the Apostle Paul, of course, is the writer, and he's writing by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And you remember when the Apostle Paul was originally Saul of Tarsus, and then he had that blinding light experience, you know, and had an encounter with Jesus, and it changed his life. Knocked the S off his front of his name, gave him a P, amen? And he became the Apostle Paul. But the Apostle Paul, before he went out and did public ministry, he spent several years in the desert and had revelation downloaded supernaturally. And then, of course, when he was stoned, and I don't mean drunk, but when he was stoned in Galatia, you know, he was left for dead. And I believe that most Bible scholars believe that that's when he took a little trip to heaven, and it was there that the Lord downloaded a whole bunch of revelation from the New Testament. That's when Paul referred in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. He goes, I can't tell whether I was in the body or out of the body. He goes, but I was caught up into paradise. I was caught up in heaven. And he heard some things. Now, one of the things that we have to understand about the spirit realm is that in the natural, it takes time to learn things. You know what I'm saying? For example, there have been times where the Spirit of God would show me something, but it would take me an hour to explain it. You see what I'm saying? But in the Spirit, it's instant. It's like, there it is, right there. You just suddenly, you know something. But then to communicate that out, it could take an hour or 2 hours or whatever, you know. And because the spiritual realm has no limitations on it. And Paul had some powerful revelation that was on the inside of him. And one of the things, among other things, that he shared in this letter here to you and to I is that Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. Now, the first thing we have to find out is what exactly is the curse of the law? You know, if you know that you're redeemed from something, you have to figure out what it is first. Well, if you look at Galatians 3:29, same chapter there, it says that if you be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Well, how many of you are Christ's seed? Well, two people, three people, all right. It says, you know, because some people think, well, I'm not of the Jewish descent, you know. So, well, that does away with that. So if you be Christ, if you belong to Christ, you're Abraham's seed and you're an heir according to the promise. Now, what we're going to talk about tonight is this redemption, this redeemed from the curse. When you see from the word of the Lord tonight, now maybe you've heard, some of you, I'm sure you have, you've read books, you've heard sermons on redeemed from the curse, more power to that, praise God. But how many of you know that we can build on revelation?
Yes.
Amen. Just like you have a muscle, you can build that muscle, okay? Well, you can build on revelation as well. And the word redeemed means this, I looked it up, it means to purchase back, to ransom, to liberate, to rescue from captivity or bondage, to free, to buy freedom of. Some synonyms for redeem mean this, to deliver, to emancipate, liberate, loose. pay ransom, release, rescue, set free, unbind, unchain, unfetter.
Glory to God.
Isn't that amazing? Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. Now, let's go back to the curse where this is specifically mentioned. And we're not going to read the entire chapter because of time here, but we will certainly read a few verses. But Deuteronomy chapter 28. Deuteronomy chapter 28. I'm sure that you know history well enough that there was a situation called the Emancipation Proclamation, okay, under President who?
Lincoln.
Okay, all right, taking you back a few years. And in the Emancipation Proclamation, that was liberty for slaves. That was a good day when the Emancipation, they were no longer bound to be slaves. But did you know that there were people, there were slaves that didn't believe that? And out of fear, they stayed in slavery. It took a while for them to get their minds in the right, renewed to the fact that, hey, we're not under this bondage anymore. That actually happened. And yet, there are people today that Jesus Christ is our Emancipation Proclamation. He has said, church, you are free. I freed you from the curse of the law. But there's a lot of Christians that go around hiding in a corner somewhere. I don't know if that's true or not. Living in bondage when they could be living in freedom. Amen. Well, praise God, we're coming to knowledge in this particular area. But, you know, Deuteronomy 28 is where the blessings of keeping the law and the curses of breaking the law are listed in Deuteronomy chapter 28. Let's just read some of the blessings first. What do you say? Okay. The blessings. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law so that we could redeem us to the blessing. All right. Verse 1 of Deuteronomy chapter 28. It says, it shall come to pass that if you will hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord your God to observe all, to do all his commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee, and notice this, and overtake thee. Oh man, it's one thing to have a blessing catch up to you, but it's another thing for it to overtake you. If you will hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, or we would say the word of God. He says in verse 3, blessed shalt thou be in the city. Blessed shall be in the field, in case you live in the country. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the fruit of your ground, the fruit of your cattle, the increase of thy kind, the flocks and thy sheep. You know, this is basically an agricultural nation back then, but, you know, there's still farmers around today. Amen. More power to the farmers. Amen. And verse 5 says, blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Now, that was their bank account. All right. Verse 6, blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. I mean, it sounds like you're blessed all the time, going and coming. Verse 7, the Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way, but flee before thee seven ways. The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee and thy storehouses. Now, that's your bank accounts, your savings accounts, storehouses. He didn't use singular. He said storehouses, bank accounts. Amen. It's okay. Praise God. He says he'll command the blessing. You mean God is interested in your bank account? You better believe it. If it wasn't, it wouldn't be in here. But it's in there. Amen. And it says, and all that thou settest thine hand unto, he shall bless thee in the land that the Lord gives thee. Verse 9, the Lord shall establish thee a holy people unto himself. And he hath sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep his commandments of the Lord thy God, walk in his ways. Verse 10, and all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord your God, and they shall be afraid of thee. Verse 11, and the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, the fruit of your body, the fruit of thy cattle, the fruit of thy ground, and the land which the Lord swore unto thy fathers to give thee. And the Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven to give rain unto thy land in his season, to bless the work of thine hand, and thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. Now notice that in verse 12, he's talking about an open heaven. Remember this morning we talked about that? 13, it says, and the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail. You shall be above only and not beneath. And you, if you will hearken to the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day to observe and to do them. And then finally in verse 14, it says, and thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command you this day to the right hand or the left to go after other gods or to serve them. All right. So basically in verses 1 through 14, we have the blessing of keeping the word, keeping the commandment. All right. Now here's the problem. All of us have broken the commandments at some point or another. Right? All of us have. Now, the best they could do in the Old Testament is they could do their best. They could try, but they would have, that's why they had the high priest that would once a year go in and make sacrifices for the Israelites to cover their sins, not do away with them, but just cover them for a year. And they would try their best, you know? But see, the law is simply been given to us. We see in the New Testament, in the book of Galatians, that the law was the schoolmaster that led us to Christ. Not too long ago, I was at an intersection, and there was a sign that said Uniontown, 50 miles from where I was. And there was a little sign said Uniontown, an arrow pointing that way. Okay. Wouldn't it be crazy if I ran up to that sign and grabbed that pole and say, I've got it. I'm here. I have arrived. Uniontown. No, dummy. Say, no, you just have the sign that points to Uniontown. Okay? Now, the law was given to show us where we've missed it. Okay? Because we've all missed it. But Jesus paid the penalty for the breaking of the law. Okay? So that he would take your punishment, he would take your guilt, and then impart to us his righteousness and his right standing so that we could receive the blessings of the law. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. Okay? He became the curse for us. Remember that in Galatians 3? Jesus became a curse for us. He redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse, what? For us. Jesus became the curse. We became the blessed. Say, I am blessed. Yes. Now, it's wrong, and I hear it sometimes, you know, because people just don't know any better. But, you know, that's really part of our responsibility. Our job is to help people, and that's what it's all about. It's about helping people. Amen? It's about lifting people up, giving them some hope that there's a future and there's a hope. You can come out of that mess, whatever it is. But lack of teaching sometimes, lack of knowledge is one of our greatest enemies, that if we don't know these things, then we can unknowingly, we can walk in a curse and not even realize that we're redeemed from the curse. You know? I know I was like that for many, many years. Now, what's interesting about the curse of the law? Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. The curse of the law was threefold, the curse. And we're just going to read a couple of things about that. And there's a whole lot more verses in that area. But the curse of the law is basically threefold. It's number one, poverty. Number two, sickness and disease. And number three, eternal spiritual death. You can put everything in those categories, you know, it's poverty, sickness, and spiritual death, or separation from the Lord. Okay? Well, the blessing is just the opposite. Okay? It's prosperity, good health, and eternal life. Amen. Now, if you go to Deuteronomy, you're there in that chapter anyway. Like I said, the curse of the law is threefold. It's poverty, sickness, and spiritual death. That's the curse. Okay? Now, as a child of God, you and I are redeemed from poverty, sickness, and spiritual death. Now, I related some time ago about, and I won't go into great detour or anything, but I related how that this time of the year, well, probably another couple of weeks, this time of the year, every season, I'm telling you, I would get allergies like you. It was horrible. Allergies would come on me, my eyes would close up and itch, and I mean, it was like you couldn't scratch them enough to get the itch out. I feel like pulling your eyeballs out. You know, well, that's not smart. And I suffered this as a Christian for years. I'm talking many, many years until someone shared what I'm sharing with you about being redeemed from the curse of sickness and disease. And under that curse and under that disease is allergies, you know, foot trouble, these kinds of things. It's all written in Deuteronomy. And all of a sudden I realized, here I am. I got kind of mad, to be honest with you. But, you know, there is a righteous indignation. There's a good cause to be angry sometimes. Now, the Bible says be angry and sin not. You know, there's an unjustifiable anger sometimes. We get mad at people sometimes. Well, we should. You know what I'm saying? But you can get mad at the devil all you want. Okay? Praise God. And I just, within myself, I'm thinking, hot dog. I've been putting up with this for 4 and 5 and 6 years here, you know, and in my teenagers especially, it got really, really bad, you know. And so I got fed up and I just said, enough is enough. And, you know, the rest of the story that I claimed it and I said, no, this is under the curse. I claim healing. And that thing went away. And I tell you, within 10 minutes, every symptom left my body. Praise God. Well, springtime, bring it on. Hallelujah. I can walk through a pollen field and it won't even bother me. Praise God. Amen. But see, we have to enforce what belongs to us, our redemption. See, redemption doesn't, just because you're redeemed from sickness doesn't mean that's just like a ripe cherry off a tree just falling on you. Like, well, I'm healed. Right? You know, you have to enforce your redemption. Just like in the natural, you have to enforce your rights sometimes. Amen. And you have to go tell people, you have to go remind the authorities sometimes, hey, I have a right to do this, you know. And sometimes in the spiritual realm, you have to let the devil, look, you have no right to trespass on this property. My body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. You're trespassing on God's property, and you got to get out of here in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Now, if you look at Deuteronomy 28, verse 60, now, what is the curse? Poverty, sickness, and spiritual death. Now, because of time, we're not going to read all these verses here. But you know, Moses was the writer here. God gave him this book. And he began to talk about the curses. You'll be cursed in the field, cursed in the city. Cursed will be the fruit of your ground, you know. And he says that here's another part of the curse. You'll begat sons and daughters, but you won't enjoy them. They'll be led off into captivity. That means you're going to have sons and daughters, but they're going to be a mess. Well, guess what? You're redeemed from that.
Yes.
You're redeemed from that. If you have a child, a grandchild, or whatever, and they've gone off into captivity and they've gone away from father's house, as we call the backslider, then you have a covenant right to say, no, I'm redeemed from that. My Bible says that I'll have children and I will enjoy them.
Right.
Amen? Amen. That's part of your inheritance. But notice in Deuteronomy 28, verse 60, it says, moreover, the Lord says, I will bring upon thee all the diseases of Egypt which thou wast afraid of, and they shall cleave unto thee. Now, the Hebrew says, I will permit. It's not that God's causing it to happen. He says, I will allow this to happen if you start serving other gods. And, you know, the Israelites, bless their hearts, they did. You know, what is the attraction to a golden calf? Dear God. But that's all they were used to, you know. And the Bible does say, my little children, flee from idols. It says that in the New Testament, you know. So an idol is anything that we put before God. And we all of us have to be careful with that, don't we? Anything can become an idol. American Idol. You know, I don't like that name. I like the show, but I don't like that name. Because to a lot of people, it is that way. You know, that's the be-all and end-all. Anyway, moving right along here. But notice verse 61 says, in every sickness, this is the curse, he says, in every sickness and every plague which is not written in this book of the law, them will the Lord bring or allow to come upon thee until you be destroyed. Now, like I said, in this, I encourage you when you go home tonight, read the whole chapter, Deuteronomy 28, and you're going to find what's under the curse. They're talking skin diseases, and hemorrhoids and all kind of trash that they actually list in there. And you could look in there and say, I used to have that, or I had that, you know. But in case your disease wasn't listed there, he says in verse 61, and every sickness and every plague which is not written in this law, them will the Lord, that in other words, these are the ones, they're all under the curse. You see, skin disease, lung disease, heart failure, kidney failure, all these things are under what we call the curse of the law. But Jesus took that curse for you. Sometimes I just like to go along and I'll say a scripture. I am redeemed from the curse of the law. And just take it. Just take a minute and inhale. I am redeemed from the curse of sickness. I am redeemed. You know, if you're having a problem in your body, you name that thing. I am redeemed from whatever. And you name it, whatever that thing is, migraines. I am redeemed from migraine headaches. Jesus took that curse so that I wouldn't have to take that thing. Amen? Now, I've seen through the years, I've been, you know, sharing this kind of stuff for almost 30 years. And I've seen some people just take this and just run with it, man. I'm telling you, not even bat an eye with it, you know. Jesus said that, you know, if you got to be great in the kingdom of God, you must become like a little child. Okay? How many of you love kids? I mean, I just love kids. Give us lots of kids, praise God. Then I just love children, love youth, love kids. But Jesus said if you're going to become great in the kingdom of God, you have to become like a little child. And Jesus literally would set a child in their midst because you remember the story that Jesus was blessing the children, you know, and the disciples were thinking, there are more important things to deal with right now. And Jesus rebuked them. He said, suffer, allow the little children to come unto me. You know, the little kids are real important to God. If they're important to Him, they should be important to us. Amen? And His disciples, they were probably like, okay. You know, He says, allow them to come because people were bringing their kids, were coming to Jesus. So Jesus must have been attractive to little kids. He couldn't have been a stick in the mud. Jesus had to be, His personality had to be such that children were attracted to Him. They weren't like, uh-oh, there's Mr. Serious. Let's get out of here. I mean, stop and think about it. Jeez, see, I can tell you that from experience because I used to think that the next thing to godliness was seriousness. I really was. I was so serious about my walk with God because, you know, everything was serious. Honestly, this is the way I used to think as a young Christian. And my wife, she'll tell you, she goes, I used to think you didn't have teeth. Now, did I love God? Oh, yeah. I was kind of insulted when she told me that. But then I thought, there's some truth to that, you know. Because I thought, you know, to be serious about God, that meant you can't have fun. You can't smile. You can't laugh. Everything is serious. Listen, who is the author of joy? In the fullness, in the presence of the Lord is fullness of what? Sadness? Seriousness? Somberness? No. Joy. Joy. Matter of fact, you know, our Lord's not getting all upset about what's going on in the earth. Read the book of Psalms. It says that God sits up there, sees what the enemy's doing, and He sits there and He laughs. God's laughing because He sees what the enemy's trying to do, and He's going to be caught in His own trap. You know, no one's ever going to pull one over on God. But getting back to what I was saying here, the children were drawn to Jesus, okay? And Jesus said, suffer, allow the children to come to me. Amen? So He took time for things that what other people didn't think were really important. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. It's just like blind Bartimaeus. He was blind. He couldn't see. Well, his ears were open. He could hear some stuff. Probably could hear a whole lot better than most of us. But he heard Jesus coming, and so he said, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. You know? And the people that were around him in this parade where Jesus coming down, they said, shut up. Be still. Be quiet. You're out of order. It just says he all the more cried out. And they just got, read the Bible, that's what it said. They got mad at him, Bartimaeus. But he's thinking, I'm not letting my miracle pass me by. He said, Jesus, have mercy on me. And the Bible says, Jesus stood still. And now they're all the same people that were criticism. All of a sudden they're nice to him. Oh, the master calleth thee. Two seconds later, like, shut up, get out of here, you know. I'm not kidding. That's exactly what happened. That's exactly what happened. Amen? I know I'm paraphrasing a little bit. That's exactly what took place. Where was I? But he got, Jesus said, come to me. And he got healed. Remember that? He got his eyesight. Hallelujah. Well, you know what? If he would have listened to the crowd, the crowd was saying, shut up. You're too radical. Forget it. Don't mess with him. We've got business to take care of here. If Bartimaeus would have listened to the public opinion, he would have never got his miracle. He would have died a blind man. Okay? But he decided to say, I don't care what they think. I am not letting my miracle pass me by. I'm going to receive. Because he had heard about Jesus healing blind people. So that put a hope on the inside of him. And anytime you hear God doing something to other people, that gives us a supernatural hope on the inside of us. That, you know, what God did for someone else, he will do for us as well. Well, getting back to the children coming to Jesus, you know, what other people thought wasn't important was important to Jesus. You know what I mean? It was just like the lady that came down, remember that? And washed Jesus' feet, remember that? With her hair. And the people were like, get her out of here. Who's this slut woman coming in here? That was their mindset. But remember what Jesus said to them? Remember what Jesus said? He said, none of you greeted me this way. That lady put the alabaster box, you know, and that there was enough. That cost, that was an entire year's salary, by the way, back in those days. That's how much that perfume cost. And she broke that thing and poured it over him. You know, and of course, Judas spoke up and said, that could have been sold to the poor. Now, he was looking to pocket it. You know, he wasn't thinking that way. He was thinking, man, I could have made some money on that. Right? But what the public deemed unimportant, Jesus said, that's important. That was really important. And it says that she'll be spoken of. We're talking about her right now. Said she'll be, throughout history, she will be talked about and spoken of that deed that she did to prepare him for his burial. Of course, he was only there 3 days. You know? That's why Jesus had a barred tomb. He's only going to be there 3 days. It's not long term. That's short term, just like parking out here at the airport. You got long term, short term. 3 day. Praise God. Well, I keep trying to give this out and I keep missing it, but the children, getting back to the children, what is it? Jesus said, unless you want to become great in the kingdom of God, you have to become like a little child. What characteristics are the two that I really can really just rattle right off that are real to me are this. Children are teachable. They're not skeptical by nature. Now, they learn that as they get older, you know, from other people. But typically speaking, children are very, they don't doubt, they believe. You know what I'm saying? Well, my children were really young. If I said there's a green giraffe out in the backyard, the kids would just, they would run and look out the back window. Looking, hoping to, expecting to see that. You know, I told Josh that last week and he still went and looked out the window. No. Yeah, right there. But they're quick, kids are quick to believe, okay? The second thing is they're quick to forgive. They could get in a little fight with someone, you know, over some toy or something like that. And 2 minutes later, they're playing, they forgot about it, they don't bring it up. So they're quick to believe and they're quick to forgive. Those are two outstanding characteristics about children that if we stay... Now, the Bible talks about not being childish, but we need to be childlike. There's a big difference. Childish means you get easily offended, easily hurt, you know, or wear our feelings on our sleeves. And we all have to watch that. You know what I'm saying? But to be childlike is to be quick to believe God's word, quick to forgive, let things go. You know, how long does it take you to touch a hot stove before you realize it's hot? Ouch. It doesn't take me long. You ever touch something hot before? It's like, man, it takes me a split second to realize I don't want to touch that very long. Okay? And so that's the way we need to treat. You know, there's this story one time about a, what do they call these guys that they put the hoofs on the shoes on horses? Where they? Blacksmith. Yeah, it was a blacksmith, yeah. And there was a guy that was that had the blacksmith was putting it over the fire, and it got real hot and red and everything, you know, and then they formed it to the horses. Well, after a couple of minutes, the redness went away, and it was still black. And a guy just happened to walk by, and he saw it laying there. He went down and picked that up, and as soon as he picked it up, he just let it go as quick as possible. And the blacksmith said, he said, "Pretty hot." He goes, "No, it just doesn't take me long to look at it." Trying to be cool, you know. And so when stuff comes at us like that, when sin comes at us and unforgiveness, we need to be so quick to just let that go. Say, I ain't touching that. I know what that did before. Mm-hmm. Amen? Amen. And see, me included, we have to be careful with that. We shouldn't hold grudges and hold unforgiveness towards people. Because you know what? It's only going to hurt us. And a lot of people can't be healed because they hold on to grudges or hurts or things like that. And I'm not downplaying what someone did to you. Now, listen, I've had people like you have too. I've had people do things to me through the years that were very hurtful, you know. And whether it be relatives or friends or whatever, you know. And what we have to learn is that what good is it going to do to hold on and harbor that ill will or unforgiveness or what that person did to us? It might have been 15 years ago, 20 years ago. As long as we hold on to that, that means it's going to hurt us in the long run. It's going to hinder us from receiving answers to our prayers. Well, Jesus said that in Mark chapter 11. He says, "And when you stand praying, forgive." Remember that? "When you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, that your Father which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses." Praise God. Now, that's not saying that what that person did wasn't wrong, because people can be sincerely wrong. They can do things wrong. And probably all of you in here have had things happen to you that were definitely wrong. Okay? Now, you can release forgiveness. Let's just talk about that for a minute. You can release forgiveness, but you may not have the feelings attached to it. See, forgiveness is not just a feeling, it's a fact. When you ask the Lord to forgive you for something that you've done wrong, you may not feel forgiven, but the fact is you are forgiven. You may still feel like a worm in the dust. You know what I mean? You might still feel like a dog. You know what I'm saying? You've done something, and God has no problem forgiving you. It's just, do you forgive you? You know what I mean? See, forgiveness has to be released. I found this through the years that forgiveness has to be released in three areas. Forgiveness towards others, which is the most common thing. Secondly, forgiveness towards yourself for where maybe you missed it and shortcomings and you disappointed yourself. You know what I mean? And then thirdly, some people have to forgive God. What do you mean, forgive God? A lot of people, remember, I'm glad we got out of them. We didn't sell them, we gave them away. There was a book back there called Don't Blame God. How many of you picked up a copy of that? You know, we'll get some more. But a lot of people blame God for unfortunate circumstances and situations that happen in your life or whatever. But, you know, God is not the one to blame. You know what I'm saying? Listen, all of us have had unfortunate things happen to us in life. But listen, here's the revelation. There is a devil. There's a devil out there. Okay? You all know that, don't you? There's demons and evil spirits that are in this earth, and their job is to hurt people. mentally, physically, sexually, with their words, verbally. Demons are behind those things. Okay? And we have to recognize that, because the devil has very little influence unless he can use a person with a physical body. All right? Just like God needs a body to work through and with. Does he not? The Lord chooses to use you and me to work through, to speak through, and to talk things through. Amen? I've met a guy one time a number of years ago that had... And you can exercise unforgiveness towards an entity or a government or anything that you don't even know the person. I met a guy that was so ticked off at the government. I mean, just... And don't get me wrong, they were making some dumb decisions. Okay? But it's not a justification to exercise unforgiveness towards the president or whoever else is in office. And I sensed it was... talking with this brother, that it was more than just like... Oh, geez, I'm tired of what they're doing in there. There was an anger. There was a resentment. That's a better word. There was a resentment. And I thought, you know, you can't hold unforgiveness towards those in office and expect God to hear and answer your prayers. Now, obviously, you know, don't you wish you could go into the White House and change some things? I sure do. You know, there's a whole bunch of tables I'd overturn if I walked in there. A whole lot of people would be looking for another job, you know. But, you know, we can't do that. But what we can do is we can pray for those people. And I'll tell you, when you start praying for people, that's why Jesus said, pray for your enemies, you know. He wasn't trying to make it hard on us. But he was trying to keep us in the blessing, you know. And so as you pray for people, and as I pray for Mr. Obama and pray for him, man, my flesh didn't want to do it at first. You know what I mean? Especially the second term. I thought, dear God, I got to pray another 4 years for this guy. It was like a marathon, 4 years, now another 4 years. You know, well, my flesh was getting real tired. I don't know about you, but I was like, whew, you know. But you know what? The man needs prayer. Now, if his eyes... What if, just stop and think about it here. Do you think he can change? Yeah. Apostle Paul changed. He was, what if Mr. Obama had a visitation from the Lord? Woo! Think about that. Jesus could appear to him. An angel could appear to him. And I believe that as the church of God, as we begin to pray for our president and those in positions of leadership, instead of just getting it the easiest thing in the world, and I know because I've been there, especially you'll talk with people. And generally speaking, they're Christian people that I'll talk to, and they're just ticked off about what's going on, you know, and sign this petition, do this, do that, you know, march around here. You know, that does very, very little. But I'll tell you, if you get on your knees or whatever, you pray in your car, and every day you just lift up and you say, earnestly pray. You say, Father, I pray for that president. I pray for Mr. Obama right now. I'm asking you, Lord, to give him wisdom. Give him revelation. Send laborers across his path. I take authority over blindness, spiritual blindness. Because you know what? If they were in their right mind, they would never make some of those decisions. You know what I mean? They think they're doing the right thing, but that's what spiritual blindness is all about. They're making wrong choices and wrong decisions that affect... And trying to pass laws that affect innocent people and things like that, you know. But I believe with all of my heart, and I did not plan on saying this tonight, that as we begin to pray, and we pray for our president and surround him with faith and surround him with love and surround him with our prayers, that God can get his attention.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. And we can see things turn around. And we can see this from history. I mean, Paul, think about Paul. He said in 1 Timothy chapter 2, he says, I will therefore that first of all, prayers, supplication, intercessions, giving of thanks be made for all men, for all those, for kings and those in authority. Well, the people that were in authority back in his day were very wicked. Amen? I mean, we think we have it rough. Oh, man. These guys were ruthless, you know. Take your head off if you don't listen to them, you know. These are ruthless leaders. And yet Paul said, pray for those in authority. Because prayer can change the heart of a king, the Bible says. Like the rivers of water, and the Lord can turn it. Well, those, guess what? Jesus said this. I just got a revelation. Jesus stood up in John chapter 7 and spoke on that last day of the great feast and said, if any man thirst, let him come after me. And as the scripture hath said, out of his innermost being shall flow what? Rivers of living water. Well, the Bible says the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord like rivers of water. And the Lord can turn it. Well, where are those rivers at? They're inside of you and me. So when we start praying out of the river on the inside of us, spiritual river, then his heart can change. Obama's heart can change. Praise God. I kind of stepped over some things here tonight. And I believe I'm speaking by revelation tonight about some things that are going to take place. Amen. So, Father, we pray. We pray for Mr. Obama right now. We pray for the president right now. And oh, Father God, we release our faith tonight. Misto koromambregeda lekia soso maharanea. Mene gosa neferia dola kombre mene gela gere susa dia remenigandro gosta. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray for our rivers that are inside of us coming from heaven would impact the White House. From the president all the way on down, the vice president and his staff members, Father. We pray for an awakening, a visitation, a great awakening. Oh, Father God, may it start in our capital, in our White House, Father. Send thou revival, Lord. Send revival. Open the hearts of the people, Lord. We rebuke darkness, spiritual blindness. We break its power in Jesus' name over the White House, over the president. And we just thank you for a spirit of restoration, spirit of revival. Oh, in Jesus' name, Father. Amen. And amen and amen. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Who would ever thought that a little hotel in, next to the Pittsburgh airport, that something powerful could start right here as we pray here tonight that would affect Washington, D.C., 250 miles away. But I believe it with all my heart. Amen. Bible says, watch and pray. So don't just watch, but watch and pray. You'll hear stuff. You'll see stuff on the news. And that's watching. But Jesus said, watch and pray. Amen. And boy, I tell you, we get to busy praying. You'll fall in love with people you normally would hate. Amen. Or despise. Okay. Praise God. Let's go over to one more verse here in Luke chapter 13. In Luke chapter 13. So how many people do we have redeemed from the curse tonight? Now, remember that scripture in Deuteronomy says every sickness and every disease that's not even written in here, they're all under the curse. So that means feet problems, knee problems, leg problems, heart problems. Sometimes people, they almost brag about the fact that that runs in my family. Almost like they're proud of it. Now, it's sad to say, but you know, some people, bless their hearts, some people are, it's a false type of comfort, but they take a false, there's a comfort in when someone's not feeling good, you know, where people pay attention to them. You know what I mean? What's the word I'm looking for? Like a false sympathy. But the thing is, God knows people's hearts. And if they're really just looking for a way to get attention, you know, that's the wrong way to get attention, you know. When Jesus Christ bore your sins and bore your sicknesses so that you could be free from that, there's better ways of getting attention. I'll tell you how to get attention. Put attention in someone else. Amen? The greatest way I know, I say, well, how do you know, Brother Keith? Because I practice it for years and years and years, and I'm still working at it. I want to be a professional at it. Okay? When I was a little kid, I wanted to be a professional hockey player. Okay? That was my dream. That wasn't God's dream. Okay? And I worked day and night, night and day, day and night, till I became proficient at it. You know what I'm saying? Well, when God saved me, that whole thing changed. Thank God. You know what I'm saying? But when you work at something, you can become a professional at it. But if you want the blessings to manifold, bless your life, treat other people as you would want to be treated. Okay? You start blessing people. Go out, if you're dealing with any kind, I know any time I've ever dealt with depression or sadness, I'll go look for someone to bless. Glory to God. Amen. Give that waiter or that waitress a tip that would blow their mind. And tell them that Jesus loves you. Don't ever leave a tract without a good tip. Okay? That's the heart. That's the, oh man. That rubs me the wrong way. My pastor years ago, my first pastor used to say, if you're going to leave a track, you better leave a monster tip. Because money talks. Amen? And boy, that'll grab people's attention. But let me tell you something. When you're looking for ways to bless people, you'll never have a down day again. It's just impossible. See, I have things come against me like you have things come against you. Now, I don't always get up and bellyache and share those things. You know, it's like listening to a country song. But, you know, I still got the dog, still got the cat, unfortunately, but, you know, just kidding. But we'll edit that part, okay? but I listen, the best thing I know to do is look for opportunities every single day to just bless people, whether it be saying something to them, giving something to them. It doesn't always have to be monetary. It can be. But look for ways to sow a kind word. People need encouragement all the time, you know. And it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out, you know, if someone, I've seen people and I just met them, I say, boy, you have a really nice shirt. I like that shirt. Where'd you get that thing, you know? And all of a sudden they're like, oh, yeah, I got that at, you know, and you start strike up a conversation. Well, you, well, I wasn't lying to him. I was saying, I do. I like that shirt. I like that color. It looks good on you, you know? Well, something like that can open up a door, and that seems so small and so insignificant, yet it can open up a whole realm where you can carry on a conversation to get inside that person's heart to minister to them. Amen? Boy, you'd be surprised what will happen. Depression will run from you. Remember how the Bible says the enemy will come in one way and flee seven ways? That's depression right there. That spirit will try to come in there and settle down on you, you know, feeling sorry for yourself or whatever, you know. And you just throw the covers back. You get out of bed and you say, all right, devil, I'm looking for someone to bless today. Amen. Yeah. And it won't be long before you run into someone that needs whatever, okay. And you just watch and see what will happen to you when you begin to do that. Amen. That curse will run so far from you, man, you'll be so full of joy, so full of peace, because you are an instrument of blessing to bless people. Amen? I love living life like that. That's what keeps me on the edge. Amen? And did I have you turn to Luke 13 yet? Okay. Well, we better go there then, right? Because we're almost out of time. But we're redeemed from the curse of the law. Luke 13, 10, it says this, and we'll conclude with this tonight. And he was teaching, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And he says, and behold, that means here, look at this. He said, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years. Say 18 years. 18 years. Well, 18 years is a long time. And it describes what her infirmity was. It says she was bowed together and could nowise lift up herself. So here's what was going on. She's like this. She's walking around. She can't get above this. She's walking around. She's bowed over like, and she had a spirit of infirmity. It was a devil, all right, just sitting on her back. And she, for 18 years, someone says, my aching back, you know. I stay there for 2 minutes and my back gets sore. You know what I mean? But she, 18 years, she's walking around like this, you know, getting real used to, you know, carpet, baseboards, people's feet, all this kind of stuff, you know. And this is not the way God intended for people to walk. Jesus, look at verse 11. It says, and behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and she was bowed together and could nowise lift up herself. She couldn't help herself. Verse 12. When Jesus saw her, so he was looking at her. He called her to him and said unto her, woman, Thou art loosed from thine infirmity. Now, she's still in that position. She's still bowed over like that. But he spoke. He said, you are loosed from that infirmity. And he laid, verse 13, and he laid his hands upon her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. Now, you can just imagine the joy. I mean, 18 years is a long time for Pete's sake, right? But what was keeping her bound? It was a demon spirit, wasn't it? There was a demon spirit, a spirit of infirmity that got into her life somehow and kept her like that, where she couldn't straighten up. She couldn't walk normal. But when she came in contact with the master and he said, you're loosed, you know, all he did was just touch her. Wham, there it goes. And she glorified God. Verse 14, and the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation or anger because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day and said to the people, look, there are 6 days in which men ought to come and work. In them, therefore, come and be healed, but not on the Sabbath day. My goodness. My goodness. Well, some of those descendants are still around today. How many of you know that? Religious people get all mad about things like this, you know. And notice Jesus' response to that. Verse 15, the Lord answered this man. He said, you hypocrite. Does not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his donkey from the stall and lead it away to watering on the Sabbath? Okay, in other words, you guys do this on the Sabbath. But he says, look at, now here's the clincher right here in verse 16. Here's what we're going to close with. He says, and ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom who bound? Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day. Now, there's a whole lot in here. But, you know, if you go back, we'll just mention this, but in Galatians 3, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles. This woman was a Jew. And he said, ought not this woman, who being a daughter of Abraham, she should be loosed. But here's a picture of a believer who legally is free, but because they don't know, they're bound. Jesus said, ought not her, this woman, who is a daughter of Abraham, if you be Christ, you're Abraham's seed, heirs according to the promise. See, healing already belonged to her, but she wasn't walking in it. Do you know that? She didn't know. The lack of knowledge destroyed her for 18 years. And he said, ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom, notice, Satan has bound. How many are 18 years? Boy, you know the devil just wanted to stay there till she died. And he just wanted to create a stronghold and habitation there on that woman's back for the rest of her life. But I'll tell you what, Jesus is a master of destroying strongholds. And when he showed up, the Lord showed him there's this, you know, there's, now not every sickness is demon spirits, okay? You understand that? But there are some that have a spirit of infirmity. There's a demon spirit that needs to be cast out behind certain things. And if that be the case, the Lord will show us, you know, through a word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits, you know, that the Lord can show us if that be the case. Okay? Praise God. Years ago, many years ago, I was ministering and we had our first church. We were meeting in a middle school, actually. And there was a guy that had been coming to our church. This is, man, we're going back 20 years, something like that here. And there was a guy that was coming to our church, and he lived in the country, lived out on a farm and stuff like that. But he was always so oppressed all the time. I mean, just oppressed all the time. He'd come in and just, man, just it was just nasty, you know. And then I didn't see him for 2 or 3 or 4 weeks in church. You know, he'd started coming to church, you know. And I had a dream one night that I ministered to this guy, and that's only happened to me a couple of times in my life where I knew it was the Lord. It wasn't I had too much pizza or anything like that. But in this dream, and I felt such compassion, you know, I saw this guy walk in. I could see the auditorium. I saw him walk in. And then I saw myself call him up front, not embarrass him or anything like that, but just pray for him, lay hands on him, you know. And of course, I hadn't seen him in probably like a month. He hadn't been coming out, you know. So, well, the Bible says, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. So I said, well, Lord, if that's you speaking to me, then, you know, this is going to work out. He's going to show up. I'm not going to chase him. He's going to come out. Amen. So he shows up. I had the dream right in the middle of the week. He shows up Sunday. And we're right in the middle of the worship song. I see him walking in. Still looks really oppressed, you know. So I waited for the right time, you know, preached, ministered the word of God. And then at the end of the service, we had some music going. And I called the gentleman up. I said, the Lord wants to touch you. He wants to minister to you. And I didn't tell him what I saw. You know, the Lord didn't tell me to tell him. But he came up. Man, it was like a lightning bolt hit him. You know, he came up. I prayed for him. And, man, I saw such a radical change in that guy from that point forward, you know. And I didn't say, I rebuke you, Satan, all this kind of stuff. You know, I just laid hands on him and let the Holy Ghost talk to him and minister to him, you know, and just release the blessing on him, you know. And boy, I tell you, I saw such a change in that man. His countenance, his face, his just everything about him began to change. Because what the Lord was showing me, this wasn't just a normal depression here. This was a spirit that was coming after him. Okay? And I think there were some suicides in their family and stuff like that, you know. So that spirit was trying to just take advantage of this guy. He was a believer. He was spirit-filled. But sometimes you have to deal with, in situations like this, you have to deal with an evil spirit and cast it out. Okay? Now, if that be the case, the Lord will show you. He'll give you wisdom. All right? But for the most part, it's mostly just taking your place, taking your authority, where you're redeemed from the curse of the law. Now, this woman right here, Jesus said, ought not this woman being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? She was a daughter of Abraham. If you be Christ, which you are, how many belong to Christ? He said, if we belong to Christ, we're Abraham's seed and we're heirs according to the promise. So that means that you and me here tonight were redeemed from the curse of the law. Amen. And we're redeemed from poverty. We're redeemed from sickness. We're redeemed from spiritual death. And I'm telling you, you do not have to die with some dreaded disease when you get older. Don't listen to the enemy that says you have to, in order to die, you have to get sick. No, there's plenty of ways to, there's a great way to go home to glorify God without being sick. Amen? Amen? Some of you are going to go home tonight and you're going to just stand up on the inside. You're going to say, I am not putting up with this anymore. I'm a child of God. I'm the seed of Abraham. I'm redeemed from the curse of the law. And let's go to one more scripture, Psalm 107. And this will kind of put the icing on the cake here tonight. Praise God. So how many redeemed people do we have in here tonight? Yeah. Lift your hand. Ha, ha, ha. Hallelujah. Well, how do you enforce that redemption? I'm glad you asked. Psalm 107, verse 1 says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Verse 2, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Well, what are you supposed to say? Whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Gather them out of the lands from the east, the west, the north, and from the south. Notice verse 2. There's songs, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, you know. But this is a verse of Scripture. This is how you enforce your redemption. Amen? Now, I don't feel particularly led tonight to lay hands upon anybody tonight, but we will say a corporate prayer together. Amen? Now, last time we did, we laid hands on people. But I don't feel that the Lord's leading us in that particular direction tonight, which doesn't mean anything. You can still receive. Amen? But notice it says that, let the redeemed of the Lord say. Now, what are we supposed to say? I'm redeemed from the hand of the enemy. So it must be that your redemption is unlocked when you release words out of your mouth. It's not just enough to think it. It's not just enough to know it in your heart. But you have to take it one step further and step out and say, I am redeemed, and I am redeemed from this sickness. I'm redeemed from the hand of the enemy. In Jesus' name, I am the redeemed. And you turn around, you walk out, and you praise God. You may not feel anything right then and there, but I'll tell you something. You just turned a major key right there in your life. You turn that thing on, and the redemption that's already on the inside of you is now going to rise up and flow. The spigot's your mouth, okay? So let it overflow out of your mouth. It spills on your body. Amen? The other day I was doing some juicing. You know, I'm trying to do a little health stuff, you know. And I forgot to put the cage that catches all the stuff, you know. I forgot to put that on there, you know. And I put a bunch of stuff in there. And I'm like grinding it. All of a sudden, it's shooting everywhere, man. It's going all over the kitchen. Lynn was on the phone in the living room, and little pieces were flying in the living room, you know. Man, the dog was almost baptized in lemon peels and stuff like that, you know. It smelled good, but it was a mess. It was everywhere, you know. That spout had to be covered up, you know what I'm saying? Why did I say that? Because the spout is our mouth, okay. And we have to open our mouth and we have to say, I am redeemed. I'm redeemed from cancer. Yeah. I'm redeemed from sickness. Yeah. I'm redeemed from migraine headaches. Yeah. I'm redeemed from blood disease. Yeah. I'm redeemed from woman problems, not me. You know what I'm saying? Somehow that didn't come out too good, did it? You don't know what I'm talking about, right? How many men got some women problems? You're redeemed from that. Oh, man.
I feel better already.
Hallelujah. Oh, it's like a breaker. I'll drink to that one. Mm-hmm. Praise God. All right, let's stand up. We're going to do something right now. Praise God. Mm-mm-mm. Jesus talked about the fertile ground in Mark chapter 4, you know, about the good ground, you know, and I am fully convinced tonight that the you that are here tonight, that your ground is so open and so ripe. That's your heart. That there is nothing that's going to delay or hinder you from receiving tonight. You have it. I mean, you have it here tonight. Amen. Now, let's say this out loud. A loud enough where you can hear yourself. Okay? And sometimes it's easier to do this publicly together. And then when you get that down, then that's easier to go back in your home or your car or wherever you're at, you know. And you begin to say these things, okay? Because your words, the Bible says that where the word of the king is, there's power, okay? Where the word of the king is, there is power. And the Bible says you are kings and priests unto him. All of us here that are born again, the Revelation says you are now kings and priests unto our God. Where the word of the king is, there is power, there's authority. You're a king, even you girls. You're kings unto God. And a king, the Bible says, thou shalt decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee. Amen? You shall decree a thing. Kings decree. They rule with their words. Okay? They'll say, do this, and the people do it. Do that, and they'll do it. Well, you're a king and you're a priest, praise God. The Bible says that. So you rule and you reign with the words of your mouth. Amen? So now we have to start talking and acting like we're kings over sickness, over disease, and over the curse of the law. Praise God. I want you to say this with me. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
I am redeemed.
I am redeemed.
From all the curse.
From all the curse.
Of the enemy.
Of the enemy.
I say tonight.
I say tonight.
I draw the line.
I draw the line.
in the sand of my life. And I say, I am redeemed. From all the curse, from every sickness,
every disease,
every problem in my physical body.
And I am
the seed of Abraham
because of Christ.
I call myself blessed. I'm blessed in my body. From head to foot. I'm blessed in my finances.
I'm blessed in my marriage.
I'm blessed in my relationships.
I'm blessed in every area of my life.
Because I am redeemed.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Praise God. We praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. 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 Now, Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you that the anointing of God has now been released into all those that are in this building right now, in this room right now, Father. That sickness and disease is melting like a snowball in the August sun. It's just melting. It's leaving. It's departing in the name of Jesus. And I just thank you for healing people's emotions even, Lord, that their healing is not just reserved, Father, for the physical, but also for the emotional. You came, Lord, to heal the brokenhearted. And so tonight we thank you for healing wounds and scars and hurts that have come to any one of us in this room, Father. We thank you for the balm of Gilead to release healing. And remove the pain, remove the sore, remove the anxiety that came as a result of that, Father. And we thank you. We thank you. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Someone here has been having problems in their throat. I'm not sure what exactly that means. In your esophagus, your throat area. The Lord is already healed that tonight. So just go ahead and receive that. Just go ahead and receive that. I see that in my spirit. I see that throat healed. There's like a glow. I see like a glow in that throat area. Right like in the middle of your throat area, there's healing right now. You might even feel heat. Okay? You're being healed right now. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Someone else. I think it's your right ear. Something's been going on inside that right ear, and the Lord is healing it right now. There's been a blockage, some kind of a, it may not necessarily be pain involved with it, but there's been some something that's not normal with your ear, and the Lord is healing that right now. He's healing that right now. Kumba Kesia, Sambrokotala, we worship you, Father. We thank you. Just praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him. Thank you, Lord Jesus. All right. Yeah, I see that, Lord. Someone else here tonight, you've had problems with what they call acid reflux. And the Lord is healing that right now. The lining of your stomach and your esophagus and everything that was involved with that is healed right now. The Lord is healing that right now. So receive that. Receive that right now. Meniki Sadoka, Halamotranias. Where there was sensitivity with certain types of food, that's gone. It's gone. It's gone. It's gone. It's gone. It's gone. Ha, ha, ha. And, that might have been for a long season. That might have been a long time that you thought you were going to have to live with that for the rest of your life. Hallelujah. And you're not going to have to pop those pills anymore. You're not going to have to take those pills to deal with that acid problem, because the root has been dealt with tonight. The root has been dealt with tonight. I said the root has been dealt with tonight. In Jesus' name, your stomach's healed right now. Hallelujah. Just receive tonight. Receive from Him. Thank you, Lord. Someone else has been having problems with a hip. All right? Something with a hip problem. Be thou healed right now in Jesus' name. Be thou healed. The Lord is ministering to you right now. And there was there was some inability to do certain things because of that hip. There was also pain involved with that. But the Lord is healing. The Lord is healing that right now in your hip. So just begin to move it. Begin to do things you couldn't do before. Just do it in Jesus' name because you're healed right now. You are healed right now. Ha, ha, ha. Ha, ha, ha. Thank you, Father. Mango kiesea ten maharitu koshanifa. Because the redeemed of the Lord, you are the redeemed of the Lord, and your Redeemer lives. And He's here tonight. And He's manifesting Himself to you. Ha, ha, ha. Ha, ha, ha. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.